in the rain.
We say what we say, we do what we feel, we gotta keep it real.
In the rain.
All about the crap of screenwriting. Fill my bottle up with lightning up in the rain room. Before the stars can be paid, there gotta be a dope ass story on the page. Let the beast about the cage, that light about the dark. Can you build the inferno from an itty bitty spark? Coffee shop hustlers rise with the cream. A million other writers, same Hollywood dream. Your pen and paper, all like bullets in the gun. Write what you feel, say what you want in the red room. We say what we say, we do what we feel, we gotta keep it real.
In the red room,
all about the crap of screenwriting. Fill my bottle up with lightning up in the red room.
So look, if you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get in. What's up, y'all?
Hey, hey.
It's your boy, Hilliard Guest, and you guys are listening to the Screenwriters Rant Room, where we keep it real, we keep it opinionated, we keep it what, everybody?
2016.
Yeah.
First of all, I'd like to say.
Uh-oh. What you got to say now?
And Trey Boogie over here is a witness to it. So.
Here we go.
Linnell.
Oh, shit.
That's all I got to say.
Team Cap, all the way.
So, a lot of y'all probably seen the new.
Can I finish the intro? Before
you know what? I got to. I'm heated.
That's what a Twitter beef will do.
Yeah, man. I can't even get
right,
the intro.
Ahead,
people who've never heard this
show. Hold
before.
On. I'll come back for you, girl.
Y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. On this show, we discuss entertainment, TV, film, music, culture, but our focus is always screenwriting, stories, craft, and crazy shit like that from Lisa Colt Jam.
Mm-hmm.
Now, bitch, what your name is? Who you is?
Wait, I got my hands up in the clap back. First of all, Linnell. If y'all know Linnell, she's awesome.
Linnell White.
Yes, awesome writer.
Shout out to Linnell.
Zombie Nation, just fantastic writer. However.
Well, she didn't do it.
We have this Twitter beef. It's a friendly Twitter beef.
Y'all be going in though. Y'all crazy.
You know, but it's all in fun. Mm-hmm. But I did not appreciate when she said to moi on Twitter, mm-hmm. and I'm listening up now. You know, you said this because we can go back and get receipts on Twitter, where she said, "Had the nerve." Notice how my voice changed because I'm getting real sensitive about it.
She's about to cry.
She had the nerve to say that Black Panther, mm-hmm. you know, is not loyal to anybody.
Well, he's by himself, isn't he?
And I said to myself, because I'm not loyal, and I said, look, I'm for Team Black Panther. Whoever Black Panther is rolling with, see, that's the definition of loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
When you're loyal to your peeps, it don't matter who he loyal to. You know, whoever his friends is, they're your friends. Whoever his enemies is, they're his enemies.
Okay.
Misguided Twitter.
So, Linnell, what I'm trying to say to you, sister, come join us. Mm-hmm. Come join Team Iron Man. I know Team Cap, he's gorgeous and everything, but come on now, you cannot. We got Black Widow. We got some folks, all mm-hmm. right? And another person I want to get, John Boyega.
Oh, yeah.
I saw what you did on Twitter.
What did
he said he is Team Cap.
He did. I saw that, yeah.
I am right. So distraught mm-hmm. over this
mm-hmm.
because I have supported you all of your life. In your careers, I have bought your movies. I
did
have
you see that picture that he posted in Brazil?
Oh my God, that
on
was
the
fantastic.
Wall? There's this cool picture, Tracy. I have it on my Twitter.
It's fantastic.
Of a photo of him. It's like right at the bottom of like this big red wall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, you could tell it's like maybe in like the ghetto or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's a picture of him in his stormtrooper outfit
and
without his helmet on.
And he's looking at the mm-hmm. helmet.
And he's looking directly at the helmet. And all you can see is like his arm.
It's big.
The helmet. It's really
a big
cool.
Picture.
It's hot.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And I love that. But John and Linnell, I'm just letting y'all know, y'all need to get right. You need to get with the winning team.
Killing me. This week.
That's all I'm saying. I'm respectfully saying that both of you need to come and be Team Iron Man. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. And for the people, Marvel, please don't let me go in the movie theater with Linnell and see Black Panther get his ass whooped. And he only shows up for like 3 seconds. Like Linnell's telling me, he only going to be in it for 3 seconds or 3 minutes.
Yeah, they're just trying to intro him so he can do his movie.
please give me at least 15 minutes.
Come on now.
And let him have some speaking lines.
15 minutes.
And can you please have his shirt off for at least 30 seconds of that time?
Who's playing him, by the way? I forgot.
Oh, come on. Chadwick.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, Chadwick Boseman, yes. Okay. So, yeah. So that's just my early clap back.
I'm waiting for Luke Cage to come
Luke Cage.
Out. Luke Cage, I'm sorry.
Yes,
that comes
indeed.
Out, what, this fall? I want to say. Yeah. Is it August or September? I don't want to think it's the fall that's coming out.
That's the fall, anyway. Yeah.
Anywho, okay. I just want to start that early clap back before I forget, because they need to come and get right.
See what I got to do.
Come get with the winning team.
Did you see the GIFs?
Oh, my God.
I was hollering.
Killing me. I just finally learned how to do it. You see, I posted that one. I finally figured it out.
Cute.
I was like, oh, that's what that means.
Yeah, it's little GIFs. Yeah. They're just fun. They just punctuate. A lot of times
is it a GIF or a GIF?
It's GIF. Oh. It's pronounced GIF. GIF. But I like calling it GIFs because it looks like a gift. I'm giving you a gift, even if I might be showing you shade, but it's GIF. But it's fun because sometimes a GIF will
How do you write stuff on the GIF?
No, well, you can do it yourself. You just get on and download the picture, and then you use your software on your computer. A lot of times I'll use when I'm doing like PowerPoint presentations and stuff, I'll take a picture and you can put stuff on there. But a lot of times they have stuff already. You can just find stuff that already has the words already on them.
I didn't know that.
For what I do, I just type in stuff like this and I'll list whatever picture I want and I just go through. Like I have a good collection because I'm always looking for classic stuff. But when she came and threw in some stuff, I had to reach into the crates. I had to bring out Muhammad Ali.
Oh my God. Okay.
So I'm just letting her know. You know what? She's my friend. Come.
Speaking of Muhammad Ali.
Get right.
So I started watching this new show.
Is it the prison show with Maybe Ali?
Yeah, did you see that?
I just saw
it's
the
called
people talking
60,
about it.
60 Days In.
Yeah, basically
like
they
that.
Take real people and
have
then they put them
show?
They
have,
put them undercover
not.
In a real prison for like two
a
months.
Trip.
And one of them, I thought they were just regular people that they put in to kind of see. I didn't realize that one of them, I said, that looks like May May Ali. And then they said, yeah. I'm
She's
like,
the
Muhammad
oldest daughter
Ali,
to Muhammad.
Muhammad Ali's daughter is in this series. And what they do is they use the actual prison cameras to film everything, to basically see what it's like to be in a real prison.
And they bring in normal people. For 60 days, you have to go in. Nobody knows you're in.
I mean, you can get your ass whooped.
Your whole time in there is to observe, try to be by yourself, not get involved, but to figure out like where the drugs are coming from. You're going to be a snitch.
Crazy.
It's crazy.
Purposely to be a snitch?
Yes, you're in there purposely.
Is that why they're in there?
You're in there purposely to give them information that they can't figure out. It needs to be.
I would last one day.
Right.
This heifer right here. Excuse me, guards.
No, you're not supposed to get involved.
Right, because how do you do that without being closely involved and really interacting?
All right,
with
I'll probably getting high and saying, this is my supplier.
Because even if you're
this
sitting
right
around
here.
Minding your business, and I've never been to prison, but you're sitting around minding your business with your mouth shut, somebody is going to come
gonna
check
test you.
You. Exactly.
Gonna, you know they're going to check you. You know they're going to check you.
That's
part
of
the problem is I have two worst fears. One is jail and the other one is drowning. I don't like neither one of them.
I'm going to take note of that. So if I ever need to torture you for something,
I'm too pretty for jail. And despite how I look, I fight back.
You might have some
issues. So I'll be getting jacked up. See, you know what I mean? I don't just be playing motherfuckers all in my face like that.
You're going to need some hand skills, brother.
I got some hand skills.
Handsome cats in jail.
You know? I don't fight against some shanks and shit, though. But me 101,
right.
We're going to be going at it. Anyway. So, today we're going to do another Chop It Up episode. You know, we just go in about any kind of subject and matter we want to talk about, anything going on in the news, anything, you know, like that's why you started off with you and your little crazy little Linnell thing, you know.
You know what's going to happen? I'm going to be so embarrassed. I'm going to sit there. Linnell, we have to go see it together when it comes out. Is it May? Is it coming out in May? Whenever it comes out, if I'm in town, I will come up to L.A. and we will go see it at the nice theater where we can drink the good wine and the good popcorn. We may have to sit on other sides because I might get too excited and be like, girl, she just whipped your man's ass. But
by the way, forgive me. We also have Tracy Grant, writer, director, producer, sitting with us again on this episode. Yes.
Much love. I'm in the passenger seat today. Shout out to all my folk here in L.A., family back east. Much love to everybody. You that's know, we're going
we to NYC get it in the today. House and shit.
No doubt. Well, I got 10 years in L.A. Uh-huh. Come on, S.A. Y'all know what it is.
Yeah.
Love to all my people.
So today, let's chop it up. What you got to talk about today?
Well, I wanted to bring something to you guys because one of the things that's really difficult for certain people, marginalized communities, is having a platform to discuss certain things that happen in pulp culture and in media. And what I wanted to bring to you, and we can bring up some other things too, but there's two things that are coming out that I think are really important because one, it's been played out on social media. And number two, it's about people who we normally don't get to hear from. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about Native folks here in the United States, in Indian country. And the issue I want to bring up, because by the time you know this episode airs, most people probably have already heard about it, mm-hmm. and probably more things will be
well,
coming.
Well, don't mean it ain't going on, though.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is recently J.K. Rowling came out with her History of Magic in North America, mm-hmm. and basically on her website, they were talking about how there's the wizarding schools in different parts of the world, mm-hmm. like they have some in Africa, different places, and there's and I got nerve like when it was first mentioned last year, mm-hmm. I got a little nervous because anytime people talk about magic or fantasy, number one, they always think that only people in Europe have it.
Yeah.
Number two, a lot of times, though, when they do try to be inclusive and try to add other groups, a lot of times they get shit wrong. Mm-hmm. And they sometimes take marginalized groups, cultures that are real and very real, and impose magical, fantastical things to them okay. when it's real, especially when it's dealing with religion and certain cultural mm-hmm. traits. And two, they always think there's one Native America. Mm-hmm. Like, they always think there's one Black America. Mm-hmm. There are more, over 500.
They just picture the Indians.
Federally I'm just talking about federally recognized tribes. Mm-hmm. I'm not even talking about the ones that are unrecognized, you know, that kind of thing. And just talking about urban Indians in general, sure. those who are not tribally officiated because of bullshit blood quantums, but we won't get into that. But when it was coming out, I was nervous, like, I hope they talk. My first thought was, it's J.K. Rowling. Hopefully she going to talk to some Native folk. And hopefully it's not going to be just the blanket Native America. Mm-hmm. Because when you talk blanket Native America, the first thing you get is the feathers in the hair. Mm-hmm. Everybody live in a teepee. Mm-hmm. Everybody goes around going, woo-woo, you know, like mm-hmm. they do that the bullshit stuff.
Stereotypes.
Stereotypes, yes. You know, that you know, and it's very hurtful. Especially a lot of things that are going on now with Native people fighting against the mascots that are used in a lot of professional mm-hmm. sports, Redskins in particular, mm-hmm. the Chiefs, that kind of thing. So there's a lot going on. And what happens is Native Americans overall on the whole, I'm talking about the ones, and I'm not even talking about First Nations up in Canada and the rest in South America. I'm just talking about United States right now. They don't get a lot of positive representation, not necessarily just positive, just any representation. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of things that are going on right now in Indian country that are very serious that people don't know about. I've mentioned them before. I've talked about the suicide rate for teenagers and young people mm-hmm. is just, it's, there was one particular tribe where literally in a 2-week period, I think there was like over 140 young people kidding? Tried to kill themselves.
Wow. In one tribe?
In one, yes. A 2-week period.
That's crazy.
Okay. A lot of people don't realize also that...
And nobody's talking about
it. And no one's talking about mm-hmm. it. Indian country, they're talking about it, but mm-hmm. in terms of the public national discussion, mm-hmm. not even there. The other issues also is people don't realize that more Native Americans in the United States are killed by police more than even some people, Black people, that we talk about Black Lives Matters.
That's interesting.
A lot of that stuff doesn't get out. You know, one, a lot of tribes are kind of isolated in certain pockets because a lot of them think that we're still dead. You know, whenever we're mentioning, like, for example, one of the issues, and this was kind of pissed me off, and I'll get back on topic, but I just have to mention this. Congrats to the old boy who finally won the Oscar for The Revenant.
I was going
to
ask you about that.
And the woman who played his wife in the movie, mm-hmm. I mean, they can invite who they want. Mm-hmm. They didn't even invite her or any Native American person from the movie to come be at the Oscars, at least. Like, come enjoy, be part of this thing, you know. And mm-hmm. even the actress who played his wife even said she was kind of bummed that she wasn't, you know, invited to be part of that thing.
They could have done that.
Yeah, they very easily, especially if you're going to get up on stage and say indigenous people, and then you got indigenous people in the movie and you didn't bring somebody.
Right. They had the reporters from Spotlight when Spotlight was winning. Mm-hmm. They made an effort to include them.
Yes.
So I feel you.
Yes. So, you know, just certain things that are really sensitive. And the thing is, the pushback that Native people are giving in terms of what J.K. Rowling is doing is it's kind of people talk about cultural appropriation, but a lot of times it's not so much the appropriation or even including Native voices or Native characters. It's how it's done. Mm-hmm. And like I said, people have like this one image of what a Native American looks like. And some of the things they were putting up on the website were wrong. Even I had to like kind of laugh a little bit because there was one, like they mentioned one group that, which is my group, my peeps, the Choctaw, they had spelled it wrong. You know, there's several ways you can spell it. You can spell it the anglicized way, C-H-O-C-T-A-W, or you can do it the original language, which is Chata. You can spell it that way, too. You can look it up online. But it was like little things like that. Mm. Like, did you not even Google or call up a Choctaw? But so they were mixing some things, and they were talking about skinwalkers, which is very specific to a very specific tribe. Mm-hmm. And just they're just taking some things, and it's really sensitive. And people were coming at Native people talking about, y'all should be happy that she's even including y'all in the books. Mm-hmm. Y'all should be happy that anybody isn't thinking. And that's where it kind of got my feathers ruffled, because here's the issue.
It ain't hard, though, is it?
It's not hard.
Lisa was very upset.
I was upset.
Before the mic was on.
And it's no different than people who are black or African-American descent in this country. Mm. Whenever there's representation that's wrong. Number one, there's not that many people of color on TV and films. Mm. And a lot of times, no especially doubt. With Native people, when we do get on TV, it's always they think that we're not in the contemporary world. And so one of the issues I'm having is when there's not enough representation of Native people, people are going to get it wrong, especially if you're not going to Native people to help you out and make sure you do it the right way. So I just want to say to those people who were coming at a lot of Native folks on social media who were telling things like, y'all should be happy. No, fuck you. You know, because they don't get to have that voice. We don't get to say what we want to say and have people see us the way we are, because one, they think we're dead, or they romanticize us, or they have stereotypes that we're drunk.
Talk to them.
Or just, you know, they say shit like, oh, we walk around. You know, there are different types of tribes, different types of Native peoples.
Sure.
So I just want to make sure that I want to use this kind of platform to talk about those issues for people who don't. On top of that, WGN, shout out WGN, they have a new series that they're going to be doing called Scalped, which was the comic book I was telling you guys about earlier, where when I went to my comic book store a few years ago, and I was like, I'm always looking for new stuff, and somebody said, oh, you're Native, so you're going to like this. Mm-hmm. And when they brought me the book, it has the dude, his name is Dashiell, I think it's like Dashiell something horse, and of course he has the Lakota, traditional Lakota that only the chief is supposed to be wearing. Mm-hmm. You know, they always want to put them in the big magnificent headdress all the time. Only the chief's allowed to wear that, and for sacred ceremonial things. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can wear that, so they got him walking
and they'd be wearing it
around,
every day.
All the time, and put it on him, and then of course, it's called Scalped. Mm-hmm. You know, because people got the misnomer that that's what Natives do, when that was actually the British that was doing that over here. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's a lot of problematic things with the comic book. The art is well done, I have to say, because I actually kind of had a crush on the lead character. I'm like, even though I got issues with some of the shit you're doing, because basically you're doing a remake of like Thunderheart and Leonard Peltier.
Jessica Rabbit, right?
Yeah. I'm like, but you know, I can have a problem, but he's still kind of cute.
Right?
So I just wanted to bring that to you. Like, what do you guys think in terms, because a lot of times we talk about representation, especially with the Oscars So White. We talked about, you know, getting representation, getting more groups and people of color on TV and film. One of the voices that you don't hear about are Native people. So I just kind of want to get your input, insight, especially with the stuff coming out and the platform that J.K. Rowling has is such a huge impact. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she's being silent
now. Is she helping? Is she hindering? I guess that's my thought.
I think in a way, as most good people think they're doing, they want to be inclusive and they think they're being diverse and doing that. But at the same time, you know, good intentions,
right?
You know, still can go wrong.
What do you think, Trey?
She's well intended. Well, here's the tough thing, and you know, Lisa is our Indian sister, as we like to say. So she's kind of a portal for those of us who are her friend.
My grandmother's Indian, but I mean, you're just more connected to it. Yeah. She was dead when I was born. Yeah.
Some of my on my mother's side too. My
a lot of
great grandmother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's an old saying that until the lion gets his historian, mm-hmm. the hunter is always going to be the hero. Mm-hmm. And so those of us people who feel underrepresented, you know, in film, television, it's kind of insidious because we're not yet in a position where mm-hmm. we can tell our own stories on that scale.
Sure.
But we have to tell our own stories. And it's a battle. Mm-hmm. And it took a long time before. And, you know, black people, you know, black Americans are just now starting to approach some balance mm-hmm. in the game. And that's debatable. Mm-hmm. Asians, Latinos, we're headed toward. There's no balance there yet. No. So
we finally got fresh off the boat.
Exactly. So for Native people are even further off. Like Lisa's saying, like they think they're all gone. Mm-hmm. But people like Lisa and folks who are like-minded that way have to begin to tell those stories and keep pushing and sometimes push harder. Mm-hmm. I'd also say, you know, people pushing back and saying, you know, you're lucky J.K. is doing it. Like, there are a lot of keyboard gangsters mm-hmm. out there.
Too many keyboard gangsters.
You know, these Twitter gangsters.
Who don't have their location.
Anonymous people. Right, they talk a lot of shit anonymously on a keyboard.
Right.
And they don't want to see you when you step to. They would never behave that way if they didn't have that anonymous mm-hmm. shelter. So, you know, I don't even waste time or energy with a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they do hit a point that's sometimes uncomfortable for us, which is that, you know, the J.K. Rowling's of the world, studio system, television networks, the people that purchase and broadcast this stuff, they don't owe us anything.
No.
Right.
And so, you know, Native people obviously have to speak with their dollars, as we all do, but they don't owe us anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so J.K. may be well-intentioned in terms of her inclusion. I'm not suggesting that she shouldn't be held accountable for authenticity and mm-hmm. doing it, because all Lisa's really saying, if you're going to do it right. So the misspelling of a tribe name may seem trivial to some people who are listening, but better to do it right and be authentic
mm-hmm.
Than to do it the wrong way. And that's not a difficult fix mm-hmm. just in terms of that example. But the bottom line is we have to be the storytellers and purveyors, you know, of that experience, sure. of those characterizations, until we have more of a foothold and inclusion, you know, in the bigger industry. But they don't owe us. It's like nobody owes you. Want to be a writer and you want to do these, like nobody owes you that. You have to really work and push to make that happen.
Well, it's interesting. I keep listening, you know, to you guys talk, and I keep trying to figure out how to put this in screenwriting terms mm-hmm. for people. And I think it comes down to, I think you're right, Tracy, and I think you're right, Lisa. It comes down to how, when we're writing, like I'm writing on this project now, I spent 3 weeks just researching the project. I'm going to spend about 2.5 weeks writing the script, right? Most of it is research. Just the research, figuring it out, how the puzzle works, and
right.
the mm-hmm. characters and the world, and all of that, because I got a world build it, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did she misspell some shit when that's what we do? You know what I mean? When she's writing her books, she's world building.
Well,
she has to create that world. She's researching other things to figure out how to write her world.
I think I've heard somebody say, well, maybe, you know, there might be some other people who were working on the website doing the stuff and kind of passed off, and, you know, it just
could have been some assistant who just
through
whatever,
and,
sure.
Yeah, so hopefully they changed it by now. But, you know, it's, and I think what I want to address to people, especially those of you who are screenwriters and TV writers who are writing things and you're writing about the other that you may not know about or you're not really familiar with, is you really have to, and I'm not saying that you cannot write, because, bitch, you can write whatever you want.
Huh.
You have to, I mean, as an artist, I know there's some people who don't like, I know some people in the country I've been seeing who's like, no, you don't have to write an artist to be mm-hmm. right. We're going to, you know what? You can write what you write. Just expect pushback. Just expect people to have opinions. But at the same time, what I want to say is the reason why you're getting all this outcry is because we don't have that much representation. Mm-hmm. And when we do get it, it's the same old, just like black folk.
Well, you were starting to talk about, I can never say resident, how you say it?
The Revenant.
The Revenant.
The Revenant.
I always want to call it resident. You were starting to talk about Revenant. So what was your interpretation of that representation?
Well, it was funny because Native even Americans. In Indian country, and people were talking about it, like some people are like, we need to support the Revenant because it's got Native people in it. And I remember I was going on website going, no. You can, like, just because, like, a movie that has black people in it, you should support it because it got black people in it. I didn't go see The Help. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a movie for me. I needed to go see it. Some other people might have needed that movie. I didn't need it, mm-hmm. you know. God bless Viola Davis for being brilliant and all of that, but it wasn't for me. So there were some people who were like, and I get it because it's just like with black people. It's like, you know, we got to have positive, and when we get up there, we need to support it because if we start coming off like, oh, you did us wrong, they won't make more movies with us in it. I totally understand
that. Well, it's true.
I totally understand that.
Hollywood has proven they buy what sells.
But still.
If it sells, they buy more.
Yes.
Well, the audience, there's a part of the audience that is starved and was starved for those positive images.
Sure.
So they may overreact to just seeing Native people on the screen. It wasn't a big part of The Revenant.
No. Mm-hmm.
His wife, you know, that, and
which
son
is why I was
killed.
Thinking why she wasn't invited. She had such a small part in the movie.
Well, it would have been a nice gesture.
If anything, the son should have been there. I don't know if he was there.
Yeah, it would have been a nice gesture.
And to Lisa's point, it wouldn't have been tough to have them.
They
in
could do whatever
the
they want.
Yeah.
Because it was clear that there was a very good chance that the film was gonna win some awards. So,
and you're already under fire for being so white anyway. I would have been like, at least my clique.
But if
brought the crew.
If we're gonna keep it real, we know that there is another segment of the population, including some Academy voters, who believe that we think, we meaning people of color, mm-hmm. we somehow think that, you know, we're entitled to this representation, and that if we have it, it's taking work away from, you know, hardworking white directors, writers, actors, et cetera, who have mm-hmm. worked hard. And so unfortunately, the conversation gets perverted pretty right. easily.
Right. Easily.
Mm-hmm. We're just definitely. Talking about some balanced representation and really just an opportunity to do good work, and if the work isn't good, there's no expectation of that work being
right.
rewarded.
Right.
So the conversation gets perverted because some of those folks think that, you know, we somehow feel entitled, and that's not
well,
it at all.
Well, I had a, you know, we're here on the lot, you know, in West Hollywood at one of the studios right now in my office. I've talked to at least 3 producers on this lot who vote. Who have not seen Straight Outta Compton.
And
they're voting members.
Fuck them too. What are their names?
Who've not? I'm not
going to
say.
What's their door?
I'm not going
to say. What's the door? I will go to them right now. Shame on you.
And I said, we're sitting here in my office. I said, with each and every one of them at different points since the Oscars and leading up to the Oscars. And they, each and every one of them were like, well, it wasn't for me. And I said, that's part of the problem.
Exactly.
That's part of the problem. However, I don't know if they would connect to the movie the way we would. Just meaning, we grew up in an era where that type of hip hop moved us.
Look.
Those songs moved us. If you don't really know those songs, I don't know if you're going to feel the movie the way we
felt. I went and saw the Johnny Cash movie 3 times.
But we know those songs.
Well,
you might not know all of them, but you know Walk the Line, you know all that stuff.
I grew up on that. The Johnny Cash show.
That's what I'm saying. But we know the music.
Here's what I think you're hitting on, though. Because again, and that's kind of what I was saying before, like they have a choice. We can't make them, if they don't want to watch the movie or watch the free screener or attend the screening they're invited to for free. And like that's their prerogative.
Send it to my house then.
They are free to watch and not watch what they choose to.
Yeah.
Many of those people will probably be surprised by the quality of the filmmaking, whether they connect to the music or not, mm-hmm. you know, whether they, how do they feel about, you know, fuck the police and mm-hmm. all of that. the quality of the filmmaking took a lot of people by surprise.
Absolutely.
And so...
And the acting. And
the acting, the accolades and awards that the film did get, mm-hmm. even though people, a lot of people don't feel like it was Oscar worthy, you know, they'll never know that it had the quality, the level of quality that it did mm-hmm. because they didn't give it a chance.
True.
And so we can't take that choice away from them, but that kind of speaks to what the conversation should be about. Like everybody, when Django Unchained came out mm-hmm. and there was all this uproar, which wasn't new, about Quentin Tarantino's use of the N-word and a lot of people feeling like it was excessive. Other people, see the movie before you pass judgment. I think Jamie Foxx had a lot to mm-hmm. say about that. Mm-hmm. Well, at least go see the movie, Spike,
and then talk shit.
Right. So if they're not even willing to watch the film, then it's not going to be a real conversation in terms of...
I do agree with that.
Reaching
I don't
better
think you
understanding.
Can judge without seeing things. I do believe that.
But that's their choice.
I do believe that.
So do you think that they should have a rule saying that you need the nominee, whatever the movies are nominated or whatever, that you should see all the movies that are nominated
well,
before
it's difficult.
You can vote?
Well, check this out.
Now, I know some people have suggested that.
You and I, and I'm assuming Tracy, we have both watched movies for film festivals, mm-hmm. right? There have been some movies that we turned on and gave a minute or two and turned off. Now, that's on a whole different level than when you're a voting member of the Academy, right? You are being courted by every studio for you to watch certain movies. They give you gifts. They give you, I mean, there's all kinds of things you're getting. And what happens is you get so many of them that some of them start going to the wayside. You just want to watch Spotlight. You just want to watch whatever the ones everybody's talking about.
Right.
However, and this was my conversation with one of them, because I'm close to one of them, and I said, but the movie was talked about like crazy. You'd think you'd want to see the one that was hyped, at least. Like you were hyped to see Spotlight.
Right.
Wouldn't you be hyped to see Straight Outta Compton? You know what I mean? He's like, yeah, but, you know, I don't really like rap and I don't whatever. And I was like, but because you didn't see it, you cause one more non-vote. You know what I mean? And whereas had you seen it, even if you don't like the music, you would have seen the performances or something might have moved you mm-hmm. for you to go, yes.
Or at least say, I'm going to go see some other movies yeah. that I normally wouldn't go see.
Yeah. All I'm saying is they get a bunch of them. And then it gets weeded down to a certain amount that get to the level.
Well, we know that the real cause really is not at the Oscars. I mean, no. That's the end result. You know, it's kind of like blatant. But it goes through some of the stuff that Glenn was talking about, Glenn Mazzara, stuff that Paul Glio has talked about, other people that we've had on the show that have talked about, you know, it starts when you're writing, when you're casting, when you're doing everything else. And also, I hate to say it, it is politicized in terms of, we're just talking about Oscars, mm-hmm. your budget. How much money do you have to put ads?
It is a campaign.
It is
a campaign. If you're not campaigning,
and if you don't have it,
no question.
If you're not campaigning, like we were talking, let me interrupt you. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Beast of No Nation. Fucking Idris, you know, thank God he won, you know, for the Golden Globe or whatever.
Right.
Or the SAG Awards, one of them.
Right,
I can't remember, forgive me. But the kid.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, until the actual award show, you never even hardly saw the kid out anywhere.
That's right.
He should have been everywhere.
I mean, I think the only one, I think he won, the only thing he got was one at the Spirit Awards.
Okay.
For Film Independent.
Yes. That's good.
Yeah.
You know, but you know my point? It is a campaign. If you don't have it in your budget, which is where you're going, mm-hmm. you are not on that campaign trail. And it takes a three-month trail.
Yes.
That means you're not working for 3 months, mm-hmm. you know, which was part of the issue. Just to backtrack on what Monique had with Precious, mm-hmm. which is why she wasn't out promoting, because she's going to be out of work for 3 months. She's like, y'all ain't paying me for 3 months.
Right.
And you want me to go out there and be promoting. You know what I mean? So I understood her.
Right.
But it's a balancing act.
It is. And again, we could chop it all day about who votes and doesn't vote on certain films. That's, again, like, that is their prerogative.
Mm-hmm. There's things we wouldn't have done.
Well,
if we
may choose to be more informed to your point. It's like, well, I'll see the movie and see what everybody's talking about, then make my judgment.
I'm saying, especially if it was a hype movie.
But
that's all I'm saying.
Well, but if, and that's why we say, you know, sometimes the work has to be its own reward.
Yeah.
They did everything they could, I believe, mm-hmm. to make the best film that they could.
Sure.
Now, maybe Universal could have done more to promote it. I think there was pretty strong promotion as we approached award season. But that's kind of the extent of what's kind of within their control. Like, if a voter isn't going to see the movie or screen the movie, mm-hmm. then the quality of the film probably doesn't matter.
Well, you just touched into something that just occurred to me. Sometimes your movie doesn't make it to the Oscars or Golden Globes or any of those, right? But it kills at the box office.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually win in some way.
Yes.
Right? You might not get that award.
Right.
But you won at the box office where they didn't think you were going to win.
I think Will Packer and Ice Cube and Dr. Dre are pretty happy despite not having gotten an Oscar.
Well, they got money anyway.
You know what I mean? They got their money.
But they also have some critical acclaim that commercial success, even though it's not an award.
Right.
And I'm not suggesting it's all about those awards, but to your point, I'm quite sure.
So at least that helps.
They're not mad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I promise you they're not mad.
No.
Well, let me ask you guys this.
Sure. We jumped off the whole.
No, that's okay. No, because we're just to chop it up. Yeah. So we chopping it up. Did you guys both watch the Oscars?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I only caught a couple scenes after. I was watching other stuff because I was boycotting out of the spirit.
It's
of
fine.
Other, no, no,
that's fine.
But I did go back because I was pretty much watching it on Twitter though. People were letting you know, happened, and then I caught like the last 10 minutes of it. But one thing that I did not catch until later.
Mm-hmm.
That someone said, did you see what Chris Rock did with the Asian kids on stage? So, I missed it in real time.
I'm trying to remember, what did he do?
He had them come out being like, what are they representing? Like the
accountants.
The accountants.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so there was flack towards that because as you're trying to talk about having more representation in Oscars for white, why would someone, a person of color, use other people of color to make a joke at the expense of them being Asian, the stereotype of Asians being smart with money and math and all that stuff too. Why did you do that? What are your opinions on that? Because I was bummed.
I don't remember it bothering me only because here's the deal. This is a problem I have with America today. I think we're too soft. I think we're way too, and this is me as a black gay man. Like, I'm one of those dudes when rappers use the F-bomb, it doesn't bother me as much because to me they're just saying this dude.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that's where I grew up, even though I'm considered the F.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So for me, I'm not as soft. I feel like we're too soft about it. I think when it comes to comedy, if we weeded out so many of the jokes and things that comedians do, it would be so corny today.
Yeah.
We wouldn't allow them. You know what I mean? Think about Eddie Murphy when he did Raw and he played the gay dude.
Right, of course.
I mean, that shit was one of the funniest things in there. Mm-hmm. But if we were all Mr. PC and non-PC, he wouldn't be able to put that in there.
He'd catch a lot of flack today.
You know what I mean?
I'm sure.
And it's like just how we raise our kids and all these helicopter, you know, kids, which I'm sure you see every day, you know. Because how soft we're going. Kids are riding bikes with helmets on. It's like so corny to me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So for me, when I think about that moment you're talking about, Lisa, I think it's because of where we are now. We comedians should be able to make jokes about people, in my opinion.
I agree.
But you got to punch up,
opinion.
Though. Well, here's the thing. Because my second thought was after when I went back and saw it on YouTube, and I was like, huh, why would you do that? My second thought was, what parent would let their child be the butt of that kind of joke where the joke – because they're already getting flack the joke of being the model minority and always being seen that way. And there's been –
I don't remember what the whole context was. That's the problem.
Well, you know when they bring out the accountants who tabulate the nominations for the award winners – it's the accounting firm of such and such and so and so. And so he had these two Asian kids in tuxedos.
Mm-hmm.
Or three of
the
them.
Joke, maybe three of them, mm-hmm. kind of being that mm-hmm. their expertise with mathematics is kind of what put them in the position to do that as kids.
Okay.
So it's kind of playing off the stereotype. Now, full disclosure, I'm a big Chris Rock fan, and Reginald Hudlin was one of the producers of the show, fan of his too. So this is a Chris Rock fan speaking. for me, it was not his finest hour.
No.
Not because of the choice to tackle the subject head on. I think the monologue had a lot of great stuff. I've seen a lot of other comedians host the Oscars who were
better,
far worse. Well, I think, you know, you know, Billy Crystal, Ellen DeGeneres,
Whoopi,
Steve Martin. Mm-hmm. He's not there, but there are a lot of other comedians and actors who didn't even come close to the quality of job he did. I would rather he had maybe made mention of it in the beginning, you know, one or two jokes.
I agree.
Kept it moving and made more of the celebration.
The show was about this thing.
That was too heavy-handed.
That was my problem, too. And I said this to my husband. I said, oh, my God, we're going to have this the entire show. He says, no, it's not. I said, watch.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And sure, because the monologue went on and on and on and on and on. I was like, okay, you're saying the same joke.
Right.
And then he would come back with another joke. And I was like, it's the same note, though.
Yeah.
You know? And it didn't make it interesting.
And a lot of people had an issue, like, because at the end of the show, it was Brooklyn, you know, Black Lives Matter. You know, a lot of black folks felt like he was making a mockery of the whole thing, which I'm sure was not his intention. Yeah. But in terms of Asians and Asian Americans who were offended by that joke, to your earlier point, that's it. That is a part of the environment where we are today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The social media, you can put out there whatever's on your mind. It's like, and they're within their rights. It's a little, well, that wasn't funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, particularly given this Oscar so white conversation, and I don't know if that makes him a hypocrite. You know what you're getting with Chris Rock.
Right.
But, you know, they're within their right. Is I didn't find that funny, and I'm going to hold you accountable to that.
Right,
that kind of comes with the job.
And so that's why I was saying I couldn't remember what the context was, only because I wasn't sure if he was making a point. Was he making a point by showing you, look, here's what you expect?
I think he was just trying to be funny.
I think he was trying to be funny.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And maybe he was sort of ironically making that play. I'm not sure.
That's what I'm. I didn't know if it was ironic to have that.
Could be. But
that's where I go back to comedy should be able to be ironic, if that makes sense, to some extent.
Yeah.
I agree. There are some things that people do that offend you. You know, like Scott and I watch a lot of comedians all the time, and they always go into the fag jokes. Or, you know, I was doing this, and all of a sudden this guy reached over, and I was like, oh, shit. Oh, this is coming. You know what I mean? And you know they're going to be dogging the fact that some dude is gay.
But doesn't that get annoying to you after
that,
a while?
That part of it gets annoying to me. What I don't mind, and I hate to just admit that I'm just going to be up front, is when somebody is telling a story. I'm hungry. Somebody is telling us like
stomach.
Arnaz J, for instance, who I wrote the show for, did a joke where he went on and on, and then he turned it around. He was talking about, you know, gay people and how they're blah blah blah, blah. But then he turned it around about prison. It was like, but if any one of y'all was in here in prison, y'all be the first one to bend over. And he started making fun of himself.
Mm-hmm.
So he turned it around in the joke.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, he's taking it a step forward.
Mm-hmm.
At first he was dogging us, but then he started putting himself in a position where he would have to be equal to me, so to speak.
Right.
It kind of reminds me of, you can see it on YouTube, it's one of my favorite Louis C.K. jokes where he talks about black people and white people going back in time.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that time machine, that kind of stuff, is only for white people. And it's funny. And it's hilarious because when he starts telling the joke, he's like, oh, God, it's awesome to be white. It's like amazing. Like, you can go at any time period. If you're a black person, you can't even go blah, blah, blah. But then he turns it around because you're like, oh, here we go. But then he turns it around, and as you're listening to the joke, he's actually making fun of white heterosexual men. Because of course they can go anywhere they want because they've kind of created the systematic ways of other marginalized people not being able to go back in time.
Sure.
And those are the kind of jokes where it's kind of like, you're kind of like, oh, here we go. Like, oh, you don't mention black people and going on. Here comes the slave jokes and stuff. But then he kind of spins it and takes it to a different direction. That's kind of like punching up. So I don't know. I was just really curious to know what you guys' opinions are because it was kind of like, oh, he's doing this. And it was kind of a little bit too much. And then when I went back and started looking at the clips, I kept thinking, I would ask people, like, did he do this the whole night?
The whole
night. And I kept thinking, like, Reggie and none of them said, look, do y'all need somebody to come in and just sit and listen to the routine and tell you, look, bruh, I understand that you probably put in a precarious position.
Mm-hmm.
All eyes are on you. Mm-hmm. This is what we going to do. You're going to do a couple of jokes at the beginning about it. knock it out, let them have that nervous white people laughter. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, they're not going to go, and then keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
Well, that's probably what we would have done. The whole thing got mixed reviews. It had the skits with Whoopi and Leslie Jones and
Stacey Dash.
Stacey Dash, Tracy Morgan, all quite clownish.
I didn't see all that.
And I'm not saying a lot of it wasn't funny, but it was kind of a mixed. So, you know, you understand the choice that they made and, you know.
Whether or not it succeeded.
Right.
Totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that. I mean, those are some of the things. And all ties into representation and, you know, some of the new shows that are coming out. Like, for example, as I mentioned last time, I'm really hooked on the WGN show Outsiders. Mm-hmm. And I was starting to go online, like, I'm really curious to know, because if you don't know anything about the Outsiders, it's about this made-up town, I believe it's in Kentucky, and it's like this Appalachian people.
Yeah, they're like in the mountains.
White folks up in the mountains for 200 years, and basically, like, a coal company wants to come in and get them white folks out the mountains so they can blow it up and create jobs for the town, and the townspeople want the jobs because everybody broke and pretty much on welfare, and they want these jobs. So you got, of course, the clash of civilizations, you know, and who really is the outsider. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to me because I kept wondering, it's like, when we talk about jokes, when we talk about stereotypes, when we talk about people in the Appalachian Mountains, when we talk about white folks like that, people always talk about the hillbilly jokes and the redneck jokes. And it's kind of like, once again, Louis C.K. said, there's no words that you can say to a white person that could really hurt their feelings. Oh, you're a cracker. Oh, he called me a cracker. That's just going to bum my whole day out. You know, just no words, really, that you can use. But I was really curious to know what people who are from those Appa, who come from those type of folk, you know, the folk, you know, how they feel. Because a lot of times I kept saying, you know, I went, like, was looking through YouTube and looking. I mean, people were making, like, music videos of this show, because one of the characters is a white Appalachian. He's in love with this black girl who lives in town. It's like, that's the best part of the show, in my opinion. Hashtag Sassel. But that's what they call it. It's Hassel and Sally Ann, and together you get Sassel.
Like Rishon.
Yeah, so like Rishon. And, you know, and it's great, but I'm really sorry. You know, I was looking through, and there were some white folks who were kind of like not happy about it. They're like, you're stereotyping us. So it's kind of interesting to see that viewpoint, because when you don't get to see a particular group of people, and when you finally get it, it's always going to be hit or miss. It's not always going to be like the perfect representation.
Well, think about it. I mean, I haven't been to the South in years, but I have a view of the South. I immediately think it's, you know, I shouldn't be driving down the road by myself.
Sundown towns.
And I'm sure
for real.
There's plenty of black folks everywhere, you know, who survive every day and do what they need to do. But I still have this view that you driving down some dirt country road, you're going to end up in the wrong spot at the wrong time.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that's just from seeing movies like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it teaches you what it teaches you. And it reminds me of, we were talking about Tracy Byrd earlier. She was telling us on her episode, go back and look at that episode, that she was at AFI casting some movie or something there for some filmmaker, and her parents were getting were they having their 50th anniversary or something, wedding anniversary several years ago, and he kept hearing her on the phone going out to talk to them about getting the arrangements together, whatever, and he turned to her and he was like, and she was going to direct the movie, and he didn't understand how black people had. He's like, you have your father and your mom? And she's like, yeah, I think he was Scottish or something. Yeah. He was from somewhere over there.
The fact that they had a stable marriage.
He didn't believe, from all his years of watching TV, he thought all black people didn't have a mom and dad. He thought they were like welfare kids and that, you know, the girls have multiple women, multiple husbands.
Well, that's what, biggest export are films. And most people outside the United States, their only contact with black Americans is what they see in movies.
What they see in movies.
And 90% of the time, they get it wrong. So you get those kind of perceptions. We're all thugs. Yeah. We're all drug dealers. We're all welfare. You know, what? You got two stable, middle class black people and together forever raising kids
forever?
Successfully and going to college kids, you know? Yeah. So
we commit all the crime.
Yeah.
So no, you're not getting in my cab.
Right. And you're not living in my neighborhood.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, it's like I said, it's all back to representation. When you're a marginalized group and you don't have complete representation, there's always going to be problematic issues in how you present it. White people, white characters don't have that because we see a plethora of like, for example, sure. this is how you can tell if you're a marginalized person. Mm-hmm. Audience, this is your test. and y'all know this because y'all, I know you motherfuckers know, I know y'all do it still. Watch the news. And if there's some kind of crime or some kind of big tragic event involving something, if you ever get a feeling in your stomach and you have this thought, oh Lord, I hope it ain't, the person ain't whatever your representation is. I really don't think most white people ever.
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh God, I hope it's not a white person.
Why would
like they? Every time the news comes on, like, oh, there was some kind of crime and they shot up the, oh Lord, please don't let it be no black. I mean, you don't want it to be anybody, yeah. But if you are a marginalized person, your first thought is, oh Lord, please don't let it be. Because you know the moment it happens, that's all white people are going to talk about. And the moment your little colored face shows up, it's subconscious. That's it's like you are one of them. If you have never had that feeling before, you might be a white person.
What I'm hearing here.
You might be. What I'm you just hear, might be.
What I'm hearing here, translating this to screenwriting though, mm-hmm. is flip your characters around a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. Like, don't go for the stereotype, mm-hmm. which is what you should be doing anyway.
That's right.
They should be different.
Right.
Just because, and that's something I try to do in my scripts now, is say there's a black dude. Say I do want it to be an urban movie where there's homeboys and whatever. I try to make my homeboy appear to be a homeboy, but in another place at home or whatever, right. he's actually a scientist. You know what I mean? Whatever. Right. Like there's something else right. he's doing
right.
on the side
yeah.
so that shows a different side of him. It's not just
the
being,
black character yeah. doesn't have to be totally consumed with his or her black experience. Right. Like right. the native character doesn't have to be totally consumed exactly. with their issue. That's a dimensional character, which is what every character in your story should be.
Correct.
Yeah, when I go home, I don't think, oh my God, I'm a black Indian. I'm going home, I'm like, what am I going to eat? What's on TV? What's that? It's not until you get around other people that mm-hmm. those things become significant based on how people react to you
yeah, yeah,
and how
yeah.
you react to it. Because mm-hmm. it reminds me of, like, I'm seeing people being, like, surprised. Like, there's a new movie that's going to be coming out that's going to be dealing with black female scientists, mathematicians, or something like that. And it's got, like, Taraji P. Henson, Octavia yeah, yeah. Spencer, and I just read that Janelle Monáe is being part of it, too. Oh, yeah. And people are like, oh, really? Is that real life? I'm like, go look at NASA. See how many black women, mm-hmm. okay? Not just black men. Mm-hmm. How many black women have been vital for mm-hmm. NASA to even the sister who just passed away, I think it was last year, who was one of the ones who did the Mars thing, the probe.
One of the engineers.
She was one of them that helped create that. She was in charge of that thing. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, she was only in her like mid-50s, I want to say.
Yeah.
She was still young, yeah. you know, and had been working on that for years. So, you know, people are always shocked, like, there are black women scientists?
Yeah.
Who are doing stuff with outer space?
Well, look at Linnell White. I mean, she's a freaking pilot, you know, for the military.
Drinking Coca-Cola, yeah. floating you know, up there like, let me go ahead and do something. Go ahead, Linnell.
That's why the stories have to be told.
And if you want to, Linnell, if you ever fly again, you can always ask Chadwick Boseman if he would like to ride in his Black Panther costume, uh-huh. and I'll come ride with you when you fly one of them big old planes again.
Speaking of that, what are Black Panther's powers? Is he just kind of like, because he's not like Luke Cage where his skin can't break.
He doesn't have any superpowers.
He's just a badass martial artist.
He's
arts
a good
dude
athlete.
Who puts on an outfit.
Pretty much.
He's fine. That's all you need.
Pretty much.
He's fine.
So he's Batman.
And he looks
right?
gorgeous. He's the Black Batman is what you're saying. He's
okay.
And he's like a king of mm-hmm. a country.
Yeah. Wakanda.
Wakanda. That's right.
Shout out to all the citizens of Wakanda.
three or four of y'all.
Shut up. Well, I mean,
looking
you know,
for all it. Well, when the Black Panther film, God willing, gets here, then
yes.
y'all get that.
And you know, I'm gonna try out for that.
That
I don't. I'm
for.
Trying out for that.
You gonna try?
I don't care what it is. All like as I always say, just have me be in the scene, stand in the background.
Have you reached out to?
That's my king right there.
Have you reached out to?
Oh my God.
And, you know, I do what shit. I got to do. You know, hey, Brian.
This is a total sidebar, though, because it's tough with the Marvel purists.
Yes.
And I'm actually one of them. We were talking mm-hmm. about Iron Fist being Asian mm-hmm. and how that's kind of in the comic book.
Speak carefully.
Well, in the comic book, mm-hmm. Daniel Rand is very much a white guy,
yeah.
but you know, like Dances with Wolves. Mm-hmm. What's the Tom Cruise Shanghai film?
The Last Samurai?
The Last Samurai is this Anglo who's sort of immersed in that culture. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're not Asian, but in a way, they're effectively representing that culture. That's kind of what they're going for. So I wasn't too upset in terms of the actor actually being Asian.
Right.
But, you know, Marvel purists, you in the comic books, you're reading them before the movie started getting big.
I still have the philosophy, and we've said this many times on the show. I agree with Jeff Thorne. We don't need to make, it's just my opinion, we don't need to make everybody be certain races to fit.
Right.
Let's just make, because you can knock off 10 other shows that have, 10 other comic books that have badass Asian actors in them, you know, Asian characters and black characters or whatever.
Right.
That we should be doing instead of putting them
One of my favorite, I would love if somebody could do this. Shit, I should probably do it myself.
What's that accent, right?
I would love to see Saga. As a TV series. Mm-hmm. I would love to see that.
You need to write that. Quiet as kept. I know Mike's is on, but for real.
I would love to see that, you know, in terms of like just content that's out there. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, it's drawn. The artist, she's badass, girl.
You need to do that.
When you make a character where the cartoon character look fine. And I'd be buying the magazine like, he kind of cute. Let me go through.
You should do that.
I would love to see that. So, you know, I mean, this whole thing we've been talking about is representation, and it's important that people realize that marginalized people, we just want to see ourselves fully. That doesn't mean we want to see ourselves being perfect goody-two-shoes.
No.
Just fully human. Like, I want to see some bad guys.
They can still be flawed.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
People don't understand it. They think they can't be flawed if they write certain characters like that.
Because it'd be offensive.
It'll be offensive, whatever, and that's it's a fine line, but I think if people are layered where, let's just say, and it talks about something you were talking about on the Glenn Miser episode, your hero parallels your bad guy.
Yeah, your bad guy is a hero in his own world.
They're the same person to some extent.
It's just on the flip side of a coin.
You flip them. Mm. You know what I mean? That way they have different moments and stuff that really allow them to be likable, if that's the word you want to use. You know, whatever. What are you about to
say? For sure. Well, I just think along with us calling for and pointing out the need for that representation, that has to be balanced with us creating the representations that we want to see.
Mm-hmm.
So you write the world you want to see. So it's not just, you know, please put us on, please make us look better in your film, in your TV show. That really needs to be balanced with our own. We had to push it through our own action.
Mm-hmm.
And even on the feature side, like sometimes, like my man uses a phrase, shout out to David Byrd, like you got to be your own bank.
Yeah,
you know, particularly in a feature world these days, screenwriter. If you're not willing to be your own bank on some level at some point, you may not get as far as you would like. If you can't find that money, and this is a struggle of the typical producer, if you can't find that money, or have that celebrity who's tied to the project or deal, or something that you're bringing to the party, you got to be your own bank.
Yeah,
and when you are your own bank, you have the choice, you have the freedom to handle those representations properly. And you have to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a YouTube clip, if it's a web series, there's nothing wrong with that. Starting from where you are and continuing to push. So you're not just like the opposition. You know, I was talking about the keyboard gangsters before who are just kind of talking shit anonymously. I think it's just the bitchiest shit to me.
It's so corny,
but
dude.
You're not just running your mouth about the issue. Mm-hmm. You're really putting some action behind your words. Mm-hmm. And everyone has to respect that, even a person who's staunchly opposed, because they don't understand and think we're asking for something that we're just automatically entitled to. They don't understand those experiences we're talking about in terms of the stereotype. They respect that. That's what's going to move the ball forward. Like,
and we
us
live,
complaining and just talking,
and
that's,
we live,
that's not
we're
gonna
living
do it.
In a time where it is so difficult to get a movie done.
Yes.
So difficult to get a movie done. Because now, like, my friends here on the lot who are big producers still have to come with elements. elements. You can't just come with a script no more. You can't just come with a pitch. No. You got to come with, I got...
Chris Hemsworth has signed on to do this. Are we going to make this happen?
You got to come with letters of intent. You got to come with a package, you know? And some of them are like, you got half the money? We'll put up the rest of the money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Fuck your script.
Yeah.
Do you have the elements, bitch? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
But my script is great.
And where your money at? Do you got $5 million to my $5
million?
Right. That's what they want to know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I may have to walk the track.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Talking to you us.
Walk the line.
Do what I got to do.
About image. Well, to Hugh's point, is another little jewel. Take it back to screenwriting a little bit. You need five elements for a movie. Talking to feature writers. Script, director, cast, budget, schedule. Put it in any kind of order you want. If you don't have all five of those, you don't have a movie. You don't have a film. You know, you have some ideas. You have a lot of hope and ambition, maybe. But if you don't have those five things, you don't have it. That's just the reality.
Cool. Speaking of hope and dreams, to close us out, I want to apologize to AMC TV.
Why? Oh, did you finally find out?
They finally announced... that Into the Badlands is coming back for a second season.
No doubt.
And but they had me waiting a long time. It is all the things I remember from my 70s childhood, Kung Fu. It has all the stuff, all the women's on the show, the love story, the Blazing couple. It has all the elements of just the stuff that I love, you know? Like, it doesn't even matter if it's like deep level drop, just kick ass and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so AMC, if I have said some things that might have hurt, that have hurt.
You just like tell me. That's
okay,
all.
Okay, the private emails.
Oh, you were sending private emails?
No. Just kidding. The slow drive-bys. People's houses. No, I'm excited because it's one of those shows that I've been waiting and waiting, and why the hell y'all wait so long? I mean, my God's sake. They just announced already that it's Outsiders is getting a second season.
And we were talking about it depends on the show. There's just different.
It's a good show,
and the network and what else is on the slate.
Maybe that's what it was. Sure, maybe they have other shows lined up.
I know. Remember, every year, every network thinks they got another show that's going to be the biggest hit. So they wait for everything.
At least tweet to me personally and say, Lisa, don't worry. That's all I'm asking for, AMC TV. Just say, Lisa.
You needed that little hold tight.
We got you. No, because here's the thing. The whole, yeah. Because
she can keep a secret.
That. Yeah, just keep it. There's only one other person I'd probably tell. That'd probably be Lauren. Hey, Lauren. I'd probably tell Lauren, you know, be like, girl, they brought it back. Because we were so happy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just, it's such a fun show. And like I said, it's one of those few shows where you get like, I mean, when I look at the cast and all the people of color, all the women who are doing, I mean, it's just one of those shows that has all the elements that I really appreciate. Mm-hmm. So I'm just really happy. And in the future, when you do a season three, you know, don't leave me hanging, because I was going to be hurt. Like, literally, I was going to shed real tears if they decided, you know, the numbers aren't what we want it to be. We're not going to, because you left us at a cliffhanger. You can't have a TV show with a permanent cliffhanger like that forever.
I just thought about another show.
That means MK is going to be in the chest locked up forever.
I just thought about another show we should talk about next time,
which is
the People versus OJ. Have you seen it?
Child. Dude, okay, let me just say it right now. Let me say it right now. Sarah Paulson and Courtney B. Vance better win some
Courtney
Emmys.
Should be nominated.
They need to get some Emmys.
Killing that role. And strangely, I didn't like John Travolta at first, but as I started figuring out the character he was playing, I was like, actually, he's doing okay with that role.
He is channeling.
He's playing
Arnold Schwarzenegger in his look. Yeah. And just, you know, it's almost like he's doing so well in that I've totally forgotten that it's John Travolta.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The only one I'm still not happy with. It's just me.
Cuba.
It's Cuba.
I mean,
but we don't really care about Cuba.
Here's
why. We don't really care about for me personally.
I think he's a fucking badass actor. I just, knowing he's like 5'6", I just can't picture him being OJ. You know what I mean? He doesn't look anything like OJ.
Well, for the youngies that are the youngies, the youngins who don't know OJ and who weren't around when the shit went down in the 90s, I don't think it really matters to them because they don't really have an idea.
He's just, we talked about this before on something else where he's just portraying, you know, he's just showing us a glimpse of, you know, this is the character. But And I think he's playing him fine. He's crying a little too much for me sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think he's playing it fine. The rest of the cast around him are
oh my god,
killing
the dude
it.
Who's playing Chris Darden,
killing it.
Oh my god.
But Courtney, that motherfucker is upstaging.
And what's so funny is when the shit went down in the 90s, like I was at San Diego State. I was like working on a paper when the Bronco check. I missed all that. Like, mm-hmm. I missed all that shit in real time.
Yeah, I remember.
I didn't care about the case at all. Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't watching it. When they put it on the news everywhere, like, it changed reality TV mm-hmm. and courtroom TV. I didn't care. Like, honestly, I was one of those people like, oh, I don't care about OJ.
Mm-hmm.
If he did it, okay. If he didn't do it, whatever. As everybody said, OJ had been black since what, 1972? The last Hertz commercial he did? You know, like, first I'm concerned. It's like, yeah, whatever. It wasn't like, yeah, it was a horrible thing. I'm always, I don't like anything to do with domestic violence because I lived through it. So I really felt for the families.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I don't care. So when they said they were making the show, I'm like, I'm not even interested. But I thought, you know what? Fuck it. Courtney B. Vance and Sarah Paulson in
killing it.
Let me see. And plus, it's not really about OJ per se. It's the court case.
Yeah.
It's everything around
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
You want to know how. It's like,
holy
here's
moly.
How it happened.
And they actually had me almost getting teary-eyed last week
mm-hmm.
when they had this whole sequence about Marsha Clark's hair.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I felt so bad. Like, it. Mm-hmm. You people's
she was obsessed. That. Oh. That's what I learned. I was like, well, I didn't realize how obsessed she was with this thing, you know,
and just
I mean?
How they treated her with her kids mm-hmm. and just the court. Like, I didn't know all the shit that was going on in her life. Mm-hmm. It's just a well done show. So
it's
I'm impressed.
Very
I'm
well
impressed.
Done.
They
anyway,
better win Emmys.
Well, we talked about it now.
There you go.
So
well, we can all
y'all know how we do it on
time.
A rant room.
No doubt.
So where you at, Lisa Cole Jam?
You can always find me on Saturday Night Sci-Fi on well, you know, I'm a Twitter junkie and I'm weaning myself. We're in rehab right now. You can find me on BitchFlix, and depending on when this airs, it'll probably be over, but I will be at NorthwestCon in Seattle. I'm actually leaving next week. So if you want to come, not next week, 2 weeks from now, you can come see me on a bunch of horror panels. I'm doing a reading, and I will be in Florida next week for IFCA, so the Academic Conference on People in the Arts and the Fantastic. So basically hobnobbing with people who write about people like me.
Nice.
Yeah, so just basically just getting around with a lot of smart people and mm-hmm. getting to hang out with a lot of my writer friends and basically being in Florida and drinking.
And where you at? Where you at, Trey?
I'm on Twitter at The Real Trey, TheReelTray. Tracy Grant on Facebook. Holler at me. Keep those tweets coming. Anybody at VH1, you can get at me. I would love to speak to you about a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
But big love to both of y'all. Let me co-host with the hostess with the mostest. And yeah, keep the tweets coming. I'm around, not traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Might hit you up at happy hour. We can get together.
And again, Linnell and John Boyega, get with the right team. Team Iron Man.
I'm going to try to get John on the show. I think I might know somebody who knows somebody.
Who knows who? John who? Show.
John Boyega.
Don't even say that.
You know when I work at it might take us a year.
I will cry.
But I'm gonna get the motherfucker on the show.
I will
get
cry.
It done.
I will bring in my doll for him to sign.
Yeah. Matter of fact,
if he don't change teams, we can have that conversation.
He might be listening. Someone may have gotten the podcast to him
you
by now.
Know. You never know.
I'm just saying, get with the winning team, John.
Mm-hmm.
Get with the winning team.
Because I've been liking and retweeting a lot of things that he's been saying lately, and he sees on my. What'd you call it? You know, when you put your name, you have your little picture thing.
Mm.
On my picture, you see my Doc Martens that have the British flag on them, the Union Jack on them.
Mm.
So he knows I'm down, Jack.
He's really good people. I'm just really happy about his success. Mm. But once again, he need to get with the winning team.
And I'm going to be talking to Paul Guillo. Shout out to Paul.
Paul.
Big up, Paul.
You know, because they're going to be shooting his new pilot with David Oyelowo. I can never say his name. Oyelowo?
Oyelowo.
Oyelowo. Some shit.
David, don't listen to him.
And
he will get it right.
I just can't pronounce it right, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
But I have met him before, and I'm going to be talking to him about getting him on the show.
It'd be interesting because he's doing a lot of interesting things.
Yes.
And it's like
very
moving into producing
perspective.
And, yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's what's up.
For sure.
And I'm your host, Hilliard Guest. You guys can find me on Twitter at Hilliard Guest, on Instagram, same shit. You guys can follow the show, Screenwriters RR, on Twitter. You have any questions? Screenwritersrantroom@gmail.com. Big shout out to all the countries. We love you guys. Please go on and give us a 5-star review on iTunes, stuff like that. Lisa, I need you to start putting your bitch flicks things on Facebook, on our Facebook page. We do have one, and I'm not putting enough stuff up there. I just put something up like once
I'm
a week.
I'm going to put a bunch of stuff on there then.
We just need
and to, I know I say that every week.
But just put them all. Yeah. Just
Lisa's
them all.
Doing big things, so that's true.
No, I'm just, you know what it is? I'm just always, and by the time I do get like that moment to just sit, I don't feel like doing nothing but curling up with my dog, hanging out with Ragnar and Michonne and, you know,
I'll tell you.
The fam.
Okay. And, you know, so give us that 5-star review. We need that on iTunes and stuff like that. We appreciate it. So everybody joining me, 2016. So on this show, we keep it real. We keep it opinionated. We keep it what, everybody?
2016.
Peace, y'all.
Ciao.
Peace and love. In the red room, we say what we say, we do what we feel, we gotta keep it real. In the red room, all about the crap of screenwriting. Fill my bottle up with lightning up in the red room. Before the stars can be paid, there gotta be a dope ass story on the page. Let that beast about the cage, that light about the dark. Can you build the inferno from an itty bitty spark? Coffee shop hustlers rise with the cream, a million other writers, same Hollywood dream. Your pen and paper, all like bullets in the gun. Write what you feel, say what you want. In the red room, we say what we say, we do what we feel, we gotta keep it real. In the red room, all about the crap of screenwriting. Fill my bottle up with lightning up in the red room. So look, if you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get in.